Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on Gold Radio Cafe. It's Friday, July 13th, 2012, and welcome to the Gold and Silver Financial Review. My name is Bosco Kacharovich, and this program is brought to you by Central Metals Corp. Our website is centralmetalscorp.com. Our phone number is 519-915-7542. We will be accepting email questions during the program, and those can be sent to mail@centralmetalscorp.com. That's mail@centralmetalscorp.com. Just to give you some gold and silver prices here, we have silver, spot silver at $27.36 right now. Spot gold is at $15.90.79. So we had a little rally this morning in gold. I think we're going to be probably testing that $1,600 level maybe even today. It looks like the support for gold between the 1540 and 1560 area has held fairly strong. It's been tested six or seven times. And, you know, typically in the summers, gold tends to rally. So I'm looking for probably a little summer rally here in gold. With all the problems now with the new LIBOR scandal, we have our regular guest, Mr. Jeff Dunphy. What do we got going on with LIBOR, Jeff?
Well, I think this is the start of a tsunami that even the guys in the banks just do not want to face. I think this is becoming bigger and becoming more public and becoming more ugly than anybody could have fathomed. I think RBC is getting dragged in. Barclays started it. Morgan Stanley is probably involved. J.P. Morgan's involved. This is going to be, well, this is big. It's the expose that's sort of happening over the period of time. We're going to start to see a collusion or a manipulation of the markets that is pervasive in the markets, I suspect. And it's not going to be pretty, Bosco.
Mm. Jeff, I think a lot of our listeners probably haven't even, I know that a couple of weeks ago you had explained a little bit about the LIBOR rate and why it's important and why people should care. Did you want to kind of review why it affects people's finances, the general population, I guess, their pensions and their some cities are having issues right now regarding the LIBOR rate and bonds and so on. Could you give our listeners a little bit of a background why they should be concerned about this?
Absolutely. Let's chat a little about the savings account that you have in the bank in a real simple terms, and you put your $1,000 in. At the end of the year, you get $1 or $2 back, or $10 or $12 back at the end of the year. So you're earning 1 or 2%. Now there are various large institutions who have large amounts of money that park themselves not so much for a year, but overnight. And this is the overnight rate. That's the OR of the LIBOR, and it's London Interbank Overnight Rate. This market is not for the faint of heart and is absolutely enormous. It's to the tune of $500 trillion. So this is a little bigger than most people can even fathom. But let's chat a little about a modest interest rate on $500 trillion. This is what everybody turns to say, to see, to calculate what they're going to be earning in an overnight rate or whether it's a 2 or 3 day rate by them spinning their money. They've got a bunch of money in the bank. They're depositing it in a fashion that pays them for depositing it. So on a $500 trillion ticket, you have little countries parking money in the bank overnight and getting a modest amount of interest. But now it comes to light that somebody's been manipulating that interest rate in order to facilitate political agendas, in order to facilitate agendas not for the depositor, agendas for the takers of the funds. the outrage that's happening with this is that there's a whole bunch of people forming class action suits saying, not only is it unfair, I've been screwed out of a reasonable interest rate over the last little bit. And so everybody's getting together saying, just a second, you owe me money. The LIBOR scandal initially cost Barclays a little less than $500 million in its penalty, in its fine. It's now starting to look, the fines and the exposure and the litigation in that regard is going to be much bigger than that. So that's effectively what's happening, where everybody's getting together and saying, we don't really care about being a fair market. We're going to manipulate the market. We're going to collude in the market in order to facilitate somebody else's agenda other than the depositors.
Mm-hmm. So people, this LIBOR rate is the base rate that banks and investment funds, pension funds, retirement funds, and so on use when they're lending money. Even we discussed before the program city in California that is now, I guess, they're going to be facing bankruptcy because the bonds that they sell, they're not getting a return on the bonds, and thus they have to cut social programs and like police and fire programs, like they're laying off policemen and firemen and so on, which is going to create social problems. This LIBOR rate affects everybody to a significant degree.
Well, no question. And one of the other things that most financial, non-financial experts, the layperson, they don't get, that the interest rate, whether it's a little higher or a little lower, the financial wizards in the market can game the system when they know where the markets are going by betting, hedging, creating derivatives. Because if you know where the market's going, it's not unlike knowing what the lotto ticket's going to read on Friday. If somebody tells you what the lotto ticket would be on next Friday, you'd go out and buy it and use that number. So when you know where the interest rates are going, and when you collude to know where the interest rates are going, you can make money both on the upside and the downside. So this is again the fox in the hen house. You can't have people representing that this market is market-based when it isn't, and you have people saying the interest rates are too high or are too low depending on their particular agenda. So you're absolutely right, Bosco. This sword cuts both ways. It makes the financial wizards money on the up and the downside, and it compromises places like the state of California is in a pickle, and we're now starting to see a rolling bunch of bankruptcies. We've got Stockton, we've got San Bernardino, and then there was another one, was there not?
I got a headline here, Baltimore. It says, takes a lead in a suit against banks over alleged LIBOR manipulation. In a lawsuit filed in federal court in Manhattan, Baltimore said the banks kept LIBOR artificially low during the financial crisis and its immediate aftermath, robbing the city of millions of dollars in returns on investments such as interest rate swaps. So this is where, the city pays their employees, the construction workers, policemen, firemen, and so on, and if they're losing money because the interest rates on their investments are being manipulated to the benefit of the banks, not the city, then that's going to create a chain reaction, and social programs are going to get cut. And when you have less police and firemen on the street, that's a serious issue for social stability. And one of the things I was looking at, you have, similar to what we discussed on this program before, the Federal Reserve, when you give the power to individuals or group of individuals to create money or to manipulate this LIBOR rate, it just invites the opportunity for corruption and collusion, as you mentioned. One way to alleviate that, and I think we had this before, was to have a standard of reference, something tangible. And gold historically has been that unit of measure or that item that that banks and central banks and countries have used as a, I guess, a disciplinary action so that bankers can't take advantage and manipulate the system. If they, you know, if we had some type of a gold standard, I don't know if a classical gold standard really works in the long run. There's arguments on both sides of that, but there has to be some account. Somebody has to be accountable, and you can't just let, you know, individuals set rates for returns. It has to be driven by the market and the cost of labor and so on. And it's just, you know, we have these problems because of that. Do you think that there's a possibility that, you know, gold could re-enter the monetary system in the future?
Well, I suspect, not only do I think, I do genuinely think that it is inevitable. And there's a couple of things. We're caught in this LIBOR scandal. We're caught in interest rate manipulation. We're caught in a Keynesian economic modality that just doesn't work. And in keeping with the fabric of where we're going, I mean, the Austrian approach to some of this stuff is said, just let the system collapse. Now, I want to talk about the Keynesian approach to not letting the system collapse, and I want to liken it to something that's absolutely ludicrous, but it is very typical of what is happening now. Imagine, if you will, and I think I did this on another show, but I'm going to do it again because it gets better in the retelling. Imagine, if you will, you leap off a cliff, and the cliff is so high that you can't see the bottom anywhere. I mean, it's literally way far away, and the horizon is so far out there that you cannot tell that you are falling what you think is you are flying. That being said, the Keynesian economists believe that by spending themselves, by spending, they can get themselves out of the pickle, which is akin to saying, when you find yourself in a hole, keep digging. It's crazy. So what the economists are saying and what the politicians are saying is, we will fix it. The antithesis of that is, we aren't going to fix it. We're going to have to let it collapse. We're going to have to let these banks collapse. We're going to have to let these countries collapse. We're seeing Korea drop their rates, which comes as a bit of a shock. They only dropped their rates by 25 bips, but nonetheless, they're slowing down. The economies are slowing down. Japan has just said, we're not going to spend our way out of this because the spending we spent for the tsunami is enough of a stimulus. Everybody is drinking the Kool-Aid, Bosco. They're saying we can spend our way out of this. It isn't going to happen. It isn't going to help. It is going to happen. What I sense is about to happen as we climb into the American election is that they will have a massive QE3. I mean, they had a mini QE3 a little while ago, where they will blow their brains out and spend as much as they possibly can trying to fix it. If that happens, the commodities, certainly gold and silver that we are predisposed toward, are going to go through the roof, because there is going to be a point in time where they're just saying, we will flood the market with paper, with fiat currency. Now, the politicians aren't going to let everything blow up. They aren't going to let countries go out of business. They aren't going to let banks go out of business, because they want to be the ones that say, we will fix things. We will look after you. They can't afford to do nothing. If either Romney or Obama said, we're going to do nothing and let everything collapse, guess who the entire electorate would vote for? I'm going to vote for the guy who said he's going to do something.
Right.
So they've leapt off a cliff. They think they're flying. They're flapping their arms, deluded into thinking they're flying. And now the horizon is starting to approach them a little faster. So they go, oh, well, maybe I should flap my arms a little faster. Yeah. And so they flap their arms a little faster, looking wantingly, thinking that flapping their arms a little faster is going to prevent them from plummeting to earth any faster. Mm-hmm. And they're going, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. And they're plummeting. The flapping of the arms is doing nothing. This is the spending of the money trying to get them out of the hole. There is only one way out of this, and that's a collapse. And whether it happens in Europe first, I mean, we're starting to see the banks implode. We're also starting to see the banks point fingers at it. Whoa, 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 says says Diamond. If you think I'm the only one, you're fining me $450 million. You're pointing the finger at me. If you think I'm the only one, you're sorely mistaken. And now RBS is getting into it. I mean, there's a whole bunch of banks where everybody's pointing the finger saying, we were all doing it. We've all been doing it. Now what's going to happen is we're going to start to see commodity manipulation, and that's coming as well. The expose is well underway, and I suspect in 2, 3, 5 years, we're going to see the historians write back on this and say, we were right in the middle of it right now, as you and I have been chatting about for years, Bosco.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I, you know, you mentioned the collapse is inevitable. And, you know, sometimes, you know, like we've seen with Iceland, Iceland went through, you know, this financial turmoil, and they basically said no to further loans or help from the banking. They took their medicine, and they're on the right track now. It seems that the Iceland is doing better, and this is the, I know Iceland's a very small country, but I think the fundamental action that they took by saying, okay, we're going to take the medicine, we'll suffer for a little bit, but in the longer term, things will look better. And I think, you know, with what's happening in Europe and the U.S., you know, as you mentioned with the QE, the politicians don't want to take the medicine. And they just want to keep papering over the problem or flapping their hands, as you say. And this is going to be as a result to the detriment of social order and people's pension funds and retirements. The standard of living is going to be affected. You know, so the only, you know, again, we relate to gold. The only protection that people can go to is to have tangible assets, gold and silver, you know, and other means of protecting yourself, whether it's storing food and so on. But, you know, it seems to me that the this thing is so... it's such a large amount of money. I mean, you mentioned earlier $500 trillion. You know, when you set a ball in motion that large, it's hard to stop it. What, you know, so people, what's going to become of this? It's hard to say. You know, is there must be? I believe that there must be a way to fix it. You have to think that, you know, for the future of, I guess, mankind, stability, whatever, there must be some solution. That solution is probably going to be painful, but what would you suggest for a solution to this, Jeff? Do you have
any
idea?
I think that, as we've mentioned before, Bosco, I think part of the aspect of fixing it, and part of the, you know, Einstein made reference to, you can't get yourself out of the pickle that you got yourself into using the same thinking that got you into the pickle. Now, one of the things that happens is we're now starting to see a definitive departure between the politicians wanting what is best for the system, the economy, the people that they represent, and what's best for them. And so consequently, the agenda becomes more and more personal, and we now start to see that the selfishness and the greed of the politicians, their desperation to get into power, is so conflicted with what's the best thing to do. So the best thing to do, the wisest thing to do, is not in alignment with their agenda. So consequently, they don't care. They don't care if the system has to collapse in order to rebuild itself. And your point about Iceland is very diligent and very astute. And it's the Iceland government said, to hell with it. We will just shut everything down. We will wipe out all the debt. Now, that was a prudent thing to do, and it led by example. But it's so small, and it's so minuscule, and it's so contrary to what other people want to do, merely because it's been ongoing. There's a backlash from the people when they did Occupy Wall Street, and when they're standing around going, "Are you kidding me? You can't be serious that that you've screwed the system out of all these things and somebody's handing you millions of dollars to leave, there is an outrage building. And we trust that we do not stand by and become complicit by saying, whatever, do what you need to do. We actually need to take action. Mm-hmm. So what will happen and what is inevitable is the system will collapse. You cannot print money forever and expect it, the fiat currency, to be worth any more than monopoly money.
Right.
How would you like it? You wandered into a bank and they started giving you monopoly paper money. You'd say, well, just a second, this isn't worth anything. Well,
right.
Guess what? The money that they're giving you isn't worth anything either because people are printing it as fast as they can. Now, we've been through this cycle many, many, many times in the history of humanity. There will be a point in time, and whether it's next Thursday at 5 o'clock, whether it's in a week, a month, a year, or a period of time, I don't suspect it will be in decades. I think it is inevitable, and I think it's going to be quick,
yep.
Where gold will once again be the commodity and be the very fabric that the currency system is based on.
Mm-hmm.
So is it a function of if? No. It is a function of when.
Right. Right. Just to take a little commercial break here, one of the sources that you and I both used for information is the International Forecaster. That publication is issued once a week now, I guess. And the website for the International Forecaster is www.theinternationalforecaster.com. In there, you'll find a lot of links to important articles, some commentary, and regarding business, finance, social, and political issues. And if anybody wants to get in touch with them, you can email them at info@theinternationalforecaster.com. Jeff, did you want to give out your email to people that wanted to contact you if they wanted to ask you a question directly?
Absolutely. You can reach me at viadao@gmail.com. That's viatao@gmail.com. If you want to pass along some inquiries related to what we're chatting about today.
Okay, and we're going to also have a link to Jeff's email on our website underneath the video of this broadcast when we get it recorded. Jeff, to continue on, you had mentioned you wanted to tell us a little story about the priest.
Yeah, we have one of the things that Bosco and I make mention of many times, often, is how is it that we can best provide information and be of service to the listeners and to our clientele relative to what we see happening and relative to what we've been chatting about. And so it brings back a story, and there's a priest, and he is, you know, somebody's come and said, you know, Father, there is a big flood coming. The river's swollen, you know, 100 miles upstream, and it's spilled over its banks, and there is a flood coming. So he looks to his parishioners, and he goes, you know, Bob and Sam and Ted and Alice, you go get your jeeps and go get that big truck, and everybody's collected in the church. And he says, okay, get them out of the way. And all these buses come, and everybody flees. And they say, Father, come with us. And he goes, no. God will save me. And they go, you sure? And he goes, yeah. God will save me. Everything's okay. And so they all rush away. Now the floods come, and the church starts to fill up, and he's treading water in the church. And he slides over to one of the windows, the beautiful glass, beautiful stained glass window with all the saints on it, and he's looking at it, and he goes, well, you know, and he kicks open the window, and the water spills out, and he gets onto the roof of the church, and a rowboat comes by, and it says, Father, come, we will save you. And he says, no, God will save me. And he climbs up, he's clambering around on the roof of the church, and he climbs to the very top, and he grabs the steeple. And sure enough, the water is rising. It reaches the steeple, and he's held there, and a helicopter presents itself. And the guys in the helicopter, the National Guard, and they're throwing down a ladder, and the ladder sort of slapping at him. And they say, Father, grab hold of the ladder and we will save you. And he says, no, God will save me. Mm. And they look at him and they shake their heads and they go, okay, well, fair enough. And away they go. Well, a little while later, you know, a little wave comes, washes him over, something hits him on the head, and he drowns. And he's now standing in front of St. Peter at the pearly gates, and he's got a big frown on his face. And St. Peter shows up, and he opens the gates, and he goes, hello, Father, how are you? And he goes, I'm pissed. I thought God was going to save me. And St. Peter looks at his notes, and he looks at his father, the father, and he says, well, just a second. We sent you buses. We sent you a boat. And we sent you a helicopter. What more could we do?
Mm-hmm.
And there are parts of the conversation that Bosco and I have. We like to turn the lights on, but we can't do this stuff for you. We can't do your push-ups for you. There are things that we can do and things that we can prepare for. This is happening. It has happened historically. We are in the middle of it happening now. And it's important that everybody hears this. There is something to do, and that is recognize that fiat currency in a relatively short period of time will be far less valuable than it is now, and that we expect both gold and silver to be far more valuable now and far more usable as a currency, as a methodology of exchange.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an excellent story, Jeff. I hope all our listeners take action and, wake up. And one of the things that I discuss with a lot of my clients is the retirement funds, RSPs, and so on. And, people need to understand that, in times like these, when you have financial crisis and things of this nature that are happening, you have to take action and make the adjustments necessary to save your bacon, really. You can't listen to the mainstream advice that, balanced and long-term approach. Well, I think a lot of people have realized that their funds or their retirement is not what it was supposed to be when they originally started 20 or 30 years ago. And, the system has fundamentally changed, and people need to wake up and face it that, it's time to take action. You got to make the right changes, and, you will survive through it. I think, like you mentioned, that, it is inevitable what's coming. People need to realize that, and you have to do something to protect yourself. It's better to be safe than sorry, and we can offer the information to the listeners and give them the right direction. But it's up to them to pick up the phone and either call us here at Central Metals, or they could email you if they want some independent questions answered. So, folks, that's an excellent story, Jeff. I appreciate it. Is there anything else that you have there at your desk you wanted to discuss today?
Yeah, indeed. Part of the fabric of exposing the agenda of the politicians and the agenda of the people who are running Europe and the agenda of the every politician, we want to talk a little about historic examples of devaluations of currencies and how the government went about doing it. Now, we've chatted a little about George Soros making billions of dollars as a result of him taking positions on currencies.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what the governments say about devaluing their currency. Are you going to devalue the currency? Nope. Are you going to devalue the currency? Nope. 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 And on midnight, the day that they do devalue the currency, the morning after, they go, well, we had to. They don't want to let anybody know they will devalue the currency. They don't want to, because if they did, there would be a run on the currency. So what they do is they lie up until the last second, and then they devalue the currency. This happened in Mexico. It happened in London. It happens all the time. Governments will not tell you the truth. To think that they will tell you the truth is to think that they care more about you than they do about themselves. Mm-hmm. The other thing that they are all terrified of doing, just by the very machinations and makeup of the financial markets, is that they cannot afford to allow upset, turmoil, and fretfulness to take over the markets. So they manage the perception of the markets. If they are doing this, they're doing it by lying to you, because they aren't telling you the truth, because they're afraid that you will be afraid if you knew the truth. Now, the expose of their agendas trumping your agendas comes to the light. These guys aren't in it for you. I had a lovely conversation, which was a bit naive on one of my students' parts, but there were tears in her eyes when she went, you know, it never occurred to me that they wouldn't take care of things in our best interests. And it's shameful and it's upsetting, but it's most disturbing that the government isn't in it for the people. The governments are in it for the government. And when we see this historically manifest itself and currently manifesting itself, it is much like there is no Santa Claus. We get to a point where we go, my goodness gracious me, I wish it weren't so, but I see that it is.
Right.
So remember, the governments don't want you to be fearful, so they will lie to you so you aren't. And as things collapse around everybody's ears, it ain't pretty, but in our opinion, it's true.
Yeah, and one of the things that people fail to realize, I think, is that the governments are dependent on the financial system, and as we discussed at the beginning of this program, the LIBOR rate. And when you realize that the LIBOR rate is manipulated by financial institutions, then when you connect the dots, you see that financial institutions are really in control of the policies and the actions that politicians make. So folks, what Jeff is telling you is true. I know it's a big wake-up call, and it's a difficult pill to swallow, but, you have to look out what's in the best interest of you and your family. When you realize that, you have to take care of your own, put your own financial house in order. You can't depend on the government. If the government's there for you, then great. I would definitely not depend on politicians and the government to take care of you. So this is an unfortunate time, but it's time to wake up and face the reality. I know it's very difficult, but I have these discussions with my clients all the time. It's very difficult, and people think that, oh, okay, you're in the gold business, so of course you're going to promote the gold agenda. Well, folks, promoting the gold agenda, it's not an easy thing to do, because it's when gold, the price of gold goes up, it creates financial and social disorder, and nobody really wins. Okay, and people, fundamentally, you don't really make money on gold. You're just basically locking in your standard of living. The prices of your standard, your cost of living, as it's going up, the price of gold is going up. So food prices and energy prices, when they're rising, your gold assets are going to be rising as well. You're not really profiting. You're, in a sense, just locking in your standard of living. So, but on the other side of the coin is, there's going to be social and political unrest, and that's the sad part of it, but it's a fact, and it is happening, and as Jeff explained, it happens throughout history, time and time again. It's just the nature of governments and politicians. These things happen, and we just have to wake up and realize that when the boat or the helicopter comes to save us, as Jeff mentioned in the story with the priest, you got to pick up, get on that ladder and climb up to safety. And in this case, during this period, that ladder is gold and silver. and another number of other things that you can do to protect your assets, but the gold and silver is a big part of it. So, you know, and with that said, you know, having your funds in gold and silver, it pretty much takes power away from the banks and the politicians, and then, you know, then we can at least come to the bargaining table and make some changes. You know, when you have, there was one article today I was reading that the CME is saying that gold is being used as collateral for loans. And we had a couple other articles this year that came out that I believe the Bank of International Settlements as well said that they were going to accept gold as collateral for loans or make them a tier one asset. So there are signs of gold re-entering the system. And basically, folks, when you have that standard of value, you're protecting yourself, and you'll be able to make the decisions necessary to protect your assets and survive through this crisis. I mean, it's clearly there is a crisis happening. It's already started. You know, there's a way that the governments and politicians can paper over it and make it seem like it's not that bad, but I mean, I think you just walk out on the street and you can tell that, you know, with the unemployment and so on, there's a lot of signs out there. You just have to read them and take action. So with that, Jeff, I appreciate your time today. A great story. Thank you for the comments. We look forward to speaking to you again next week, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bosco. Thank you very much for allowing me to be of service.
Okay. Goodbye.